God is a spirit. He is the Father of spirits. God has revealed in Scripture certain attributes or characteristics about himself. Some of these attributes are palely reflected in us as his people, the communicable attributes, and some of his attributes are not reflected in us at all, his incommunicable attributes. Tonight, God is infinite. That is what the Scriptures teach. If you turn over a couple of pages to Psalm 147, you will note what it says in verses 4 and 5. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. What is God, says the fourth question of the Shorter Catechism, and the answer comes, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. God is a spirit is modified by the three adjectives. God is an infinite, eternal, and unchangeable spirit. I had to look this up, obviously, in the grammar. I didn't understand this myself when I was studying it. A prepositional phrase follows and is modified by the three adjectives. God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. In his being, he's infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his wisdom, he's infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his power, he's infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. God is a spirit who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. What an amazing summary of what the Bible teaches that Jehovah is in one small sentence that can be learned and understood by small children. How great is our God? Let us always get our view of God from the Scripture. And let us worship him according to the scriptural view of the Lord. A high view of God is essential for true worship and adoration of God. The theologian Robert Raymond says this. He emphasizes it in his book on the attributes of God. I want to state categorically that in my opinion, the intrusion into the contemporary church of superficial, flippant worship styles that abound everywhere today with their applause for the church's performers in inverted commas and their sappy contemporary music is not and should never have been regarded simply as a matter of cultural preference, but rather as an infusion of the popular culture into the church. As Tozer describes, and he quotes Tozer, who's a great man, if the church at large recovered her once lofty concept of the majesty of the living God, were that to occur, many worship leaders would know great shamefacedness because of their shallow, self-willed, and irreverent styles of worship. But he, God, will not be known as such, or served by such, or served as such by people fed with inane choruses, poorly written gospel tunes, and silly, unscriptural prayers, mediocre revivalist preaching. God is to be worshipped with renewed minds, and faith in God requires an understanding of God. End of quote. Anything that is in error of how it portrays or paints God himself is very dangerous. Because idolatry is anything portrayed about God that is not true. A man-made God is nothing but an idol. Now, these attributes of God that are revealed to us in the scriptures, you know what they are? All the attributes, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, holy, powerful, all of them, when they're summed up, they are this. They're nothing less than the glory of God. Because the word glory means the outshining. The glory of the sun is the outshining of the sun, the light. The glory of God is the outshining of God. So the attributes are the glory of God. They outshine what he is. He is a spirit. He is infinite. He is eternal. He is unchangeable in his being and wisdom and power. These things are not just descriptions of him. They're the outshining of himself. They're the outshining of the glory of God. So it's worth wrestling in our minds a little bit with these words to come and understand them, even just a little. To do so is to behold something of the glory of the God we worship. But tonight we're looking at God is infinite. The first point is this. What does that mean? It's good to start there, isn't it? What does it mean? Well, the word in English is infinite. The Hebrew word that is translated infinite in the Old Testament has a lot of words to describe it because it has a very deep meaning. Infinite, the Hebrew word means this: innumerable, without parallel, without boundary, without limit, without measure, without restriction. The planet Earth on which we live has a measure. It has a limit, doesn't it? It's limited in its size. The sea, mighty though the oceans of this world are, has its boundaries. Job 38 and verse 11. It's limited. This far and no further. It can be measured. The angels, even in heaven, are restricted. They're not infinite. The universe in which we live has its own limits. And you and I have our own limits too, don't we? We can be measured. The nurse said in the new health center, "Do you know what height you are?" "Yep, 5'7" and a quarter. She says, "The quarter is very important." I said, "It is when you're 5'7". So she wrote it down. But you can be measured. We can all be measured. We have our limits. We are not without parallel. We are not boundless or limitless or measureless or without restriction. We are finite, not infinite. But the Bible teaches God is infinite. If you take the biggest number you know and multiply it by itself 10 times, and then multiply that number by all the grains of sand on planet Earth, you haven't even begun to understand infinite yet, without limit or measure. He is infinite. He has no parallel. He has no boundaries. There is nothing limiting God. No outside force. He cannot be measured. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Unsearchable. John Owen says, He is inconceivably infinite. God is inconceivable. He is infinite. He has no perimeter. So that's what it means, infinite. Second point, God is infinite in his being, his actual self. In his being, in what he is, in his very presence, he is infinite. His presence has no limit. His presence has no measure. His presence has no parallel. His presence is inconceivable. What is infinite in his being, in the sense of his presence, mean? Omnipresent. He is everywhere. In his being, he is infinite. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. His presence is everywhere. No matter where we go, God is there. He is limitless in his being. He cannot be escaped because of that. That's why I read from Psalm 139. The psalmist writes, "If I fly up even to the clouds of heaven, the first heaven, you're there. If I go down into the depths of hell, thou art there. If I go to the bottom of the sea, even there shall your hand find me. Or if I decide, I'll cover my sin behind closed doors. I'll do it in the darkness," in the verses of the psalm, verse 12 and 11 and 12. In the darkness. God will not see in the darkness. Will he not? "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shines as the day. And the darkness and the light are both alike to God." He is everywhere. He is infinite in his presence. He's omnipresent. But if I make a time machine, perhaps, not that there's any such thing, but if I make a time machine and go to a different time or age, then I can escape God. I'm afraid not. Because it says in verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Look at verse 16. "Thine eyes did see my substance," the stuff I'm made of, me. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." God saw me before all this began. He is inconceivable. He is infinite. His presence cannot be escaped from. Solomon said that God fills heaven and earth. 1 Kings 8:27. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good." This is infinity in his presence. Jeremiah says, I'll turn it over and read two verses from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and 24. God says through Jeremiah, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" Don't even think the Lord is saying there that if you're taken to a different country, that I don't know you're there. "I am also your God when you're afar off. I fill the heavens and the earth." The theologian Robert Raymond says, "God is everywhere. All things are in his immediate presence. Never do we do or have anything in private. We have never had a private conversation. His presence is inescapable. End of quote. God's immediate presence, his infinite presence, is even in hell. Revelation, look at what it says in Revelation 14, verse 10. Talking about the judgments of God. But anyway, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The presence of the Lamb is there. God is everywhere. He cannot be escaped. He is infinite in his being. My third point is this. He is infinite in his wisdom. His wisdom, his knowledge, is limitless. It's infinite. It cannot be measured. He has no parameter, no parallels, no boundaries, no measure to what God knows. God's knowledge is inconceivable. He knows everything. He's all-knowing. What is infinite wisdom? But omniscience. He knows it all. Psalm 131 in the first four verses. 139 in the first four verses. O Lord, thou searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether, completely. He knows when we sit down, he knows when we get up, he knows everywhere we go, he knows our ways and our words even before we speak them. He knows everything. He's infinite in his knowledge and wisdom. Verse 16, as I already read to you, he knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. Don't ask me how, but that's what it says. He knew you before you even existed. His understanding is limitless. That's the verse I read earlier, Psalm 147, verse 5. His understanding is infinite. Job, verse 37 and verse 16. Sorry, chapter 37, verse 16. Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, says God to Job, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? Or 1 John 3:20, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. He's infinite in his wisdom. He knows all past, present, future. He knows everybody. He knows everything. He knows every thought that has ever come into our minds so far and every thought that ever will come into our minds in our whole life. He knows all the words that everybody speaks before they speak them. He knows their purposes, their plans, their relationships, and he knows you and me completely. That's what the psalmist is saying. He is infinite in his wisdom. Fourthly, he's infinite in his power. His power knows no limit, no measure, no boundaries. It cannot be measured. His power is inconceivable. He is all powerful. Infinite power is where theologians get the word. He is omnipotent, potent, potency, all powerful. Infinite in power. Power belongeth to God. Psalm 62, verse 11. Daniel chapter 4. Great little section in Daniel chapter 4. Here is the ruler of the world superpower. This is like the president of America or Russia saying these words. This is the world superpower in Daniel's day. But Daniel 4, 34 and 35. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that lives forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting kingdom, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he goeth according to his will. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, nor say unto him, what doest thou? Nebuchadnezzar learned that God is powerful, all-powerful, and he can do whatever he wants. Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible. How? Because his power knows no limits. The exceeding greatness of his power. Ephesians 1:19. God says in Isaiah 43, Before the day was, I am. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. No one can deliver anyone out of the hand of God. None. He is all powerful. Infinite in power. God is infinite. The meaning of infinite is my first point as I conclude and summarize. Without limit, without measure. Secondly, he's infinite in his being. He is omnipresent. Thirdly, he is infinite in his wisdom. He is omniscient. And fourthly, he's infinite in his power. He's omnipotent. Any application? Of course, we have to have application to make the message come home to us. A few things. Firstly, God governs everything in person. He is everywhere. He is the controller and the maintainer of all things. He's infinite in his presence. Secondly, let us remember that all sin that is committed in God's immediate presence. No sin is secret. Before thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, says David. His infinite presence. Thirdly, God can give us more than what we even ask or think. He's infinite. He's boundless. Fourthly, for our encouragement, God is with you, believer. Whether you're in a hospital bed, at home, wherever you are, you're in the immediate presence of Jehovah. Fifthly, we can also be confident when God promises us that he will do certain things from the word. He says certain promises in the word. We can be sure he will do those things because he's omnipotent. No one can stop him fulfilling what he says. No one. And sixthly, God can save anyone. Sinners can be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, by God. You have to trust him. Simply trust in him. You don't need to help him by your works. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. No works have any part in salvation. God has accomplished it all. And I would say this for any listening who is lost, ungodly, an unbeliever, whatever you want to call yourself. In the light of the infinity of God, please remember this. You cannot escape from God. He knows all. No matter what you think. He is everywhere. No matter where you go. He is all powerful. No matter who or what you trust to escape from him, it is folly. And if God says that men and women will all one day stand before him and give an account for their words and their thoughts and their motives and their deeds, then make no mistake, you will one day stand before him. Nothing can stop it. But you will stand before him. If you're not a Christian, you'll stand before him on your own. Alone. You cannot hide from him. You cannot escape from him. You cannot avoid him. He is infinite. I say this to all sinners. It is a fearful thing to remain in sin, to be a gospel rejecter, and then to fall into the hands of the living God, to come into his immediate presence. The God that says, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. None. No pope, no queen, nothing, no one can deliver out of the hand of God. Every man or woman ever born, our only hope and surety of standing before the Lord and not being judged for our sins, the only hope and surety we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. He as our mediator, he as our intercessor, he as our substitute and our atonement and redemption. If he is that to us now, by grace through faith, then on that day when we stand in heaven's court before the creator of the ends of the earth, we shall not stand alone. Because the Lord Jesus will be there, and he will declare in the presence of his Father, this one is mine. This one is pardoned. This one is free. Cleansed by the blood of the Son of God. There is no power in all creation to declare or deliver. There is no power in all creation to deliver a sinner from the hands of God. There's no power in all creation to deliver a sinner from the justice and judgment of God. But the infinite power and love in the sending of his Son. The infinite Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to present the gospel to sinners. But nothing else can save. Nothing. God is infinite. He is without limit. He is all. I finish with Thomas Brooks, the Puritan. He says this: God hath in himself all power to defend you, all wisdom to direct you, all mercy to pardon you, all grace to enrich you, all righteousness with which to clothe you. He has all good to supply you and all happiness with which to crown you. God is infinite. Amen, and thank you for your attention this evening. We'll continue next Lord's Day, God willing. Amen.